Welcome, believers. This is the Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Welcome to my home.
We are doing this Lucha Lowdown from the Casa de Bud in San Diego, Carlsbad, or actually rather undisclosed location if you ever want to try and find them. What's that address? So, yeah, thank you for having me into your home, and happy to be basking in your presence, Mr. Patackle, Jeff.
It's been a while since we've done one of the episodes from here, since the live show.
Yeah, that's right, in Escondido, right? Yeah. That was the last time. From this very couch, here we are.
We shared a microphone, kind of cuddled up together.
We did. It was a little bit more intimate then, but now we have a little bit of a fancier setup here.
Dos mics.
At the Lowdown. That's right. Dos mics. And we have a fridge full of Modelo, the official beer of Lucha Underground. We should probably be drinking one of those during the show, I guess. But too late now. We're into it. But it is Comic-Con week here down in San Diego. That is why we're here. Looking forward to doing all sorts of things with that. And we'll get into what Lucha Underground has going on as well, because we have an event with them down here. But welcome back to the Lucha Lowdown. My reference in calling Jeff Mr. Patackle is something that I really meant to bring up on the last episode when Antonio Cueto was calling out, introducing the Sacrifice to the Gods match, essentially. And he called Mr. Pectacular, not that.
No, he missed a few of the syllables.
Yeah, and so I just remember being so like entertained by that, and then but completely forgot to bring it up on the last episode. So bringing it up here now, we are going to be reviewing the fifth episode of season four, however, of Lucha Underground Sacrificio. Overall, what did you think of this episode, Jeff?
I enjoyed the episode. My only thing was I consider it a real unloading of the. The medallions is like,
yes.
What's going on here?
Well, I think in that regard, I think they must be wanting to really build towards a Gift of the Gods match.
Yeah,
soon.
They gotta be rushing towards
it. Maybe we get more than one this season, more than one Gift of the Gods match and stuff like that. So I could see that happening.
Well, I mean, I could see it where we get a Gift of the Gods match now, and then so somebody will be able to take advantage of it this season, and then maybe we would end the season again with another Gift of the Gods match, which I think may have happened.
I think it
before.
Has happened.
We have had the season end with a Gift of the Gods like Battle Royale.
Yeah. But I mean, and we'll see what even happens with those medallions. And I mean, because there's a lot of stuff going on with the gods themselves and everything like that. So, but yeah, this definitely was a bit of a sprint to start divvying those out. I mean, they handed out two last episode.
Or I thought they've only handed out two in total. Dragonus Tekka Jr. Received one in one episode, and then King Cuerno has just earned
that's
one.
That's right. They announced two medallion matches last week that Cuerno was going to be taking on Chavo Guerrero for a medallion later that night, and then Cage was getting milled tonight in this episode.
Exactly.
Sacrificio.
And then it turned out we were getting a few more matches.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we started off with another Sacrifice to the Gods match. With Matanza Cueto. Well,
can you call it a match?
No, you can't. Well, what happened was is that so Cortez Castro starts the episode in the ring. Police officer was it Reyes?
Yeah. Poor Cortez. It's been a rough story for that guy.
And like, I mean, yeah, he came in as a member of the what was the name of that group?
Oh, I don't remember anymore.
The crew.
Yeah, the crew, and they were basically Dario's muscle.
Dario's muscle, and they're all dead. Well, two of them are dead now.
Cortez Castro is still alive, is what you're saying. Yeah, one was fed to Matanza because of their repeated
failures.
And then
Dario beat one to death.
Yeah, when he was wearing the mic.
Yeah.
And then even Big Rick had been attacked. He was sort of like aligned
I think Big
with
Rick's
them.
Still alive, though. I think there's big plans for Big Rick, if you ask me.
Oh, Big Rick is the mastermind behind all
That's
of this.
That's right. We've been talking about that. Two of the crew are dead. So that was what was going on. Cortez Castro, Officer Reyes, undercover cop. He had a rough go because his cover got blown. And he had to come back under a mask as Veneno, who had a very unsuccessful Lucha Underground career.
Spider mask when you got a rampaging arachnophobic in the locker room.
Was calling a rat by Dario Cueto and then savagely beaten. But he keeps on trucking. I would have asked for a transfer at this point if I were him. But here he is back in the temple in Lucha Underground Season 4. Antonio Cueto shows up and makes Castro understand that he too knows that he's a rat fink and has no respect for him. And he said he has to report a homicide, which was a cool line, to, you know, since he's a police officer. But it's more of a sacrifice to the gods. And so Cortez Castro did, in fact, become the second sacrifice to Matanza. Got beaten even easier than Mr. Pitacle.
Mr. Pitacular held his own slightly.
Compared to this, yes. Yeah. So thus ends...
the career of Officer Reyes.
Yeah. So what did you think about that?
I mean, it's sad to see that character go, but I mean, it's not like they were doing anything else with him at the moment. And I mean, it's if you have to go, that's a cool way. And yeah. Then where Mr. Pitacular was just introduced this season and really didn't get a chance to do anything, this is a character we know. He's been involved in a lot of storylines. This lends a little more importance and credibility to the sacrifices.
Yeah, and he got his big match with Joey Ryan last year.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, so...
And yeah, I don't know what you do past that, so...
And I do like that it is a character that we've sort of come to know and love that gets sacrificed because it adds to that match.
Exactly.
And one of the things I was thinking about, like you said, could you call it a match? You know, squash matches are a big part of wrestling. They're supposed to be used to get somebody over, get something over. But I feel like a lot of times in other promotions, they're not really done successfully. Like, squash matches are almost just kind of annoying, like, and pointless, mm-hmm. you know, because... it's just like it's, you know, sort of a Johnny Boots and Shoes situation against, like, you know, one of the main roster talents, and you know who's going to win. And
right.
I don't feel it really does that match. But in watching Lucha Underground, like with some things like the Sacrifice to the Gods matches, even their squash matches, like, sort of have a purpose to them
right.
and are actually entertaining. Like, this is cool because it's serving a greater purpose.
Yeah, I get that.
So I appreciate that they're sort of, even though this is clearly going to be a squash, they actually have sort of a plan in mind. And so I enjoy seeing sort of like the roller coaster go up the chain link there as it's building to something bigger. So
I get that.
So that
and then
was
the,
cool.
The audience is all...
Dude,
all in
that's
with
right,
it.
Yeah, talk about that.
The audience was chanting for the sacrifice. They're blood crazed. It reminds me of watching a Pentagon match.
Yeah.
The audience for Lucha Underground, we've talked about it before. The venue is intimate, which I think helps a lot. You can have more interactions with the audience. And everyone's really just bought in. Everyone's invested. Everybody who's there wants to be there.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like those are all legitimate fans.
Believers.
And so, exactly. So, yeah, all of them... react appropriately when it comes to all of the matches and stuff. So yeah, now they're all a bunch of Aztec fanatics.
Yeah, it really did sort of start with Pentagon and like that getting behind the fact that like people forget that like he was sacrificing people in season 1 to his master, and we just didn't know who that was. That was such a cool.
Even Pentagon didn't know who his master was.
Yeah, exactly, which was super rad. But you're right, like the Believers are just so vehement and so into it and zealous. You know, they're zealots out there, which is cool. So
it makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, it helps you buy into it more, too.
Yeah, and I think everybody that we've talked to about it, like the wrestlers and stuff like that, they really appreciate it and everything like that. It's part of what's made Lucha Underground so special.
Well, yeah, when you're a live performer, I mean, your interaction with the audience is important. You know? And I mean, that's the sort of thing that's sort of lost in translation now when it comes to everything with movies and TV shows. But yeah, as far as theater or professional wrestling, things like that, it's still really vital.
Yeah, and I think with this is, you know, some of those performers in Lucha Underground are used to working bigger crowds and stuff, I'm sure, but they, even talking to them, appreciate the passion that, like, can come out of even a smaller group of people that are just really into what they're watching. They're not hijacking the show, you know, and stuff
exactly.
like that. And that's really been something special about Lucha Underground. But we must say RIP to Officer Reyes, a.k.a. Cortez Castro. You know, thank you for your service and everything like that. In the line of duty, essentially. Or, yeah. I don't even know, maybe he was just going rogue at this point. If he was even supposed to still be there.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. Yeah, we don't know anything.
So, I don't know if we'll see Captain Vasquez this season. But I would hope so, since she has half that amulet.
I was going to say, she still has story. But I don't know who's going to be interacting with her now, because Joey's off the reservation.
Yeah, it's true. Well, maybe she doesn't know about that. But then again, she would have seen their match.
Yes.
You'd think.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. We'll see what happens.
I think they need to revisit the department and see what's going on with them.
That was a great idea.
Yeah, it was. And I think that we will get more from that. Because Dude, I remember the Amulet episode was one of my favorites because we were getting some Lucha lore, we're getting some Katrina backstory and stuff like that, so...
Well, I went from having no opinion of Cortez Castro to being totally invested in what was going on with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was so awesome to find out that he was actually some
like
undercover cop. No, because it didn't really fit with the motif and
yeah,
everything like that. And yeah, okay, a bunch of guys come out and they sucker punch somebody and they beat them up. It's like, I don't really care. And then Tejano was able to beat all three of them up anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like,
well,
all right,
they weren't
you're
the most gifted
tough.
Or accomplished, you know? I mean, well, Cortez was a police officer. And
well, I think of him as like a Jax or a Striker or something from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, well, they don't win. all right, from there, you mentioned Joey Ryan. Joey Ryan involved in this week's episode of Lucha Underground. We were getting a medallion match, Eva Lis taking on the King of Sleaze, Joey Ryan. What did you think about this match?
I love Eva Lis. I love Joey Ryan, so I enjoyed the match. I guess I like the fight choreography because there's a few times where... Joey being sleazy.
Yes.
And Eva Lis is exactly the kind of character that you wanted to go up against to Joey Ryan because she's going to put him in his place.
Yes.
And then it was for a medallion.
Yeah. And I think, too, just given with what everything that Eva Lis has gone through, and they even mentioned that at the end of the match with her win, just, you know, she's been one, that, along with Angelico, that's endured a lot of injuries with her time in the temple. And
so unfortunate.
It is, because the Believers really support her very strongly. And we were talking about it last night, just about, yeah, remember she challenged Mil Muertes for the Lucha Underground Championship, which was a big deal.
That was insane.
Yeah, so... yeah, I enjoyed this match. I like what you're talking about as far as like Joey Ryan working his gimmick in this match and not in like an annoying way or where it's done too much, but like there's a point where he had like gotten the Eva Lis in a go behind and started to reach his hands up towards her breasts like he was going to like do like some type of awkward suplex. Yeah. She was having none of that, and rightfully so. And also, I liked him eye raking her with his chest hair. Yeah. Which is just disgusting. but yeah, Joey Ryan is just a delightful character. But I'm happy Eva Lis won. She should be in the Gift of the Gods match.
Yeah,
so
I think it's more fitting.
Her.
Also, I mean, it's good like homecoming for her. You know what I mean? It's like she came back at the very end of last season, and then now, I mean, she's kind of hit the ground running. And
surprised Crane didn't show his face. Interfere. Maybe he's still hurt or something. I don't know.
Wondering about that. If he would interfere, or if maybe she got her revenge and that'll be the end of it for the two of them.
Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Jeremiah ends on the Gift of the Gods match, though.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised about that either. I just feel he's invested in something else altogether. So
he is. But, you know, if we know anything, it's hard for those girls to move on from being spurned. Hell hath no fury. and boy, Eva Lis beat the crap out of him. So. Yeah, maybe
rightly
they have.
So.
I feel like they got to be building towards a match with those two. I feel like though.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. When are you going to get back from Son of Havoc, Evie?
Well, that's who we ship. They're Endgame.
I miss that. I
miss that team, man. There will never be a trios team that I love as much as them, and I love a lot of the teams.
They were like
had
the Guardians of the Galaxy. You know,
they really were.
They were just like the perfect mix of misfit toys.
You know why? Because sometimes with these teams, they do sort of shove them together. And then sometimes it gels and it's fine. But with them, it was that nice slow buildup as far as the rivalry. And Angelico went against Eva Lis and he went against Son of Havoc. And, you know, Son of Havoc and Eva Lis were already a couple, but they were also having their squabbles. And then you put the three of them together and it was like they were always supposed to lose. They were to enter the tournament basically to just help the crew move around up or something like that.
We're not a team. We're a time bomb.
Exactly. But, you know, they defied the odds and they ended up becoming the first trios champions. And they were so much fun to watch. I loved them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a bummer. And, yeah, I mean, just think of some of the iconic moments that they had.
Dude, it's great. Dude, Angelico jumping off the roof
exactly.
multiple
to
times.
Save Eva Lis.
Yes. Yeah, when we were talking about Angelico's first match with Eva Lis and stuff like that, how creepy he was being.
Exactly, because, yeah, this match reminded me, it was, yeah, reminiscent of when Angelico and Eva Lis faced off against each other with Son of Havoc as the guest referee. And, yeah, Angelico was very handsy. And then, I mean, and then that was the whole component because, of course, that angers Eva Lis because she's just a opponent who's trying to be in a match. And, of course, nobody wants to be molested.
Yeah, of course.
And then Son of Havoc, that's his girlfriend, and he's the ref. And there's nothing he can do other than he tries to do a quick count. You know, he's...
God.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I do miss them as a team. That was...
They had very good chemistry.
Yeah, that was a real bright spot for the temple and everything.
I mean,
like
there
that.
Was a team of Rey Mysterio Jr., Prince Puma, and Dragon Azteca Jr., and I like this team more. That's what great chemistry they had.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But you did mention, we were talking about Son of Havoc. He is also involved, and in the very next match, it was a triple threat match, so it was, they were promoting the fact they're going to have the trios champions of Killshot, the Mac, and Son of Havoc all fighting each other for an Aztec medallion. Antonio Cueto, though, arrived again before this match and, you know, said that it's a great match on paper, but he always thinks about how he wants to make it even greater, you know.
That's how you
and
do
then
it.
And then he proceeded, in my opinion, to very confusingly
explain it. Yeah.
What was going to be happening this match.
I feel they were confused in the ring.
Yeah, well, maybe that led to it. So essentially, instead of this match being for one medallion, it was going to be for two. But still one fall to a finish. So
yeah, instead of this becoming win the match, it became don't lose the match.
Yes, which was sort of weird, but it ended up playing in very well into the storyline that they're going with Killshot and how Killshot had behaved previously in this season. And what did you think of this match?
I ended up liking it exactly for what you said. It helped the story as far as how the characters are progressing and how they interact with each other. I like the route that Killshot's going now. I look at this team, and it still bums me out that we don't have Dante Fox.
Yeah.
It's a what could have been.
Yep.
But at the same time, I mean, I like Son of Havoc, so I have no problem with him being in there. And as far as their relationships with each other, it's really good. Also, Season 4 and the Mac, and I'm still not used to how he moves. I mean, that guy is agile.
Dude, he had some crazy,
easy spots.
Awesome athleticism that he showed off in this match. Like, he did the cannonball into the corner and then ended up backflipping back onto his feet or whatever it was.
Yeah,
like, I don't even know how
feet.
He moves so fluidly. Like, he's like a superhero.
I don't think they knew either as far as Vampiro and Matt Stryker.
That was like seriously like something out of a video game when he did that. I also liked when he did the handstand on the top turnbuckle and started pelvic thrusting. And then Vampiro's like, I just think that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. But I liked also during this match, again, I was talking about how this built on the storyline. So Killshot pinned the Mac in Aztec Warfare.
Right.
But also with the sort of shoehorning of Son of Havoc into this team to fill Dante Fox, I liked Killshot as he sort of continues his heel turn or whatever you want to call it, slapping around Son of Havoc and saying, you know, you're not our champion, you're not a brother, you're not like being very like sort of like intense and like very rude. Some would say downright rude to him. But so. I like that because it's playing to the fact that, you know, Son of Havoc was through no choice of his own, but he's sort of an interloper in this team. And,
right,
and
exactly.
While Mac has accepted him, seemingly, Killshot has not.
Yeah. Well, Mac's a professional. You know, he's like, hey, I'm here to fight.
And I feel like, I feel very vindicated about how Killshot's acting, because if you go in the Wayback Machine, I was theorizing that perhaps Dante Fox was right all along and Killshot did just leave him behind. Certainly left him behind in Season 4 because he's not there and Killshot's acting like a real D. So, what say you to that, Jeffrey?
I can't dispute how Killshot's acting now. I still think that he was a hero who acted with nothing but valor on the battlefield.
I don't know.
Actually, we don't know. Most of it's classified.
Yeah, is that redacted?
Yeah.
I think he abandoned Dante Fox, and he abandoned him again in Season 4, and I don't like it.
Dante thinks that.
Yeah,
or thought that.
And I
we don't know what Dante thinks
anymore.
I always
supported Dante. Yeah, it is a bummer that he's not there. But I like how Killshot's attitude is mostly manifesting towards Son of Havoc, because I just sort of get that. But although it's not like Mac and Killshot and Dante Fox were a long-lasting team. They were together.
Yeah.
They only did one match and they won the championship.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
or
you could also.
Matches.
I mean, well, Killshot and the Mac also entered the Temple together with Big Rick.
Yeah.
So I mean, they have been a team in the past. And I mean, I guess you can look at it. It's like, hey, listen, we earned the belts together, so we're the team. So I mean, I do get it.
So you just can defend them two against three. You need a partner, Killshot. It's what you never learned overseas. And also the way this played in the storyline is so Killshot eventually, I love when Killshot yanked Son of Havoc by the beard too, very Lord of the Rings and Gimli-esque,
yep.
Not the beard, but when Killshot hit the double stomp and then Mac hit the stunner on Killshot, he had to make his choice and he chose to pin Killshot.
Yeah.
So That means Son of Havoc's in Gift of the Gods and the Max in Gift of the Gods. Killshot is out.
And he did not take the news well.
No, he did not. What did you think about all that extracurricular stuff?
I don't care for the disrespecting of the medallions. You can't just be throwing one of the Aztec medallions on the mat.
Yeah, agreed. But I think I like that they had to have Mac make that choice, and I think he made the right one.
He did make the right one,
yeah.
Because Son of Havoc was cool after that and was also willing to help Killshot up and, you know, shake hands.
Yeah, and
over.
Also earlier in the match, Killshot was trying to get the Mac to just team up on Son of Havoc, which,
exactly.
Again,
and Mac said,
no,
it's just a
trios
match.
Things.
Yeah.
Maybe we should reconsider. So, yeah, Killshot on the out. So, I mean, they eventually got to defend those trios championships, and I assume they're going to lose them pretty in short order.
I wonder if Killshot will just, like, walk out or something like that.
Yeah, I could see that.
I could see that happening. Or even attack them.
Yeah, you know? Maybe join the other team like Drago did.
Jesus.
But, yeah, so we'll see what happens there. The Mac, again, the Mac, I guess, sort of, and Son of Havoc won this one because they both get a Aztec medallion. Killshot just
Mac won. Son of Havoc did not lose.
All I know is that Killshot lost this match.
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
So that brings us to the main event, which is the Machine Cage taking on the Man of a Thousand Deaths, Mil Muertes, for an Aztec medallion. The Aztec medallion of Mil Muertes' tribe, which is that Quetzalcoatl looking thing. What people
death
online
tribe,
refer to, yes, as the Death Tribe. Be nice to get like a master
an official name.
Games. I'd get a poster of that actually with like the tribe's like medallion
their
and then like a little breakdown of
name.
Each tribe and everything.
A little lore.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be cool.
El Rey, Lucha Underground, book it.
Maybe a list of who belongs to each tribe.
Yeah, that'd be dude. I want to know.
Yeah.
All that little breakdown.
I mean, it was nice to know that King Cuerno belongs to a tribe and which one. And yeah, we need more of that.
Yeah, it's very cool. But also, I mean, this is a big main event with Cage and Mil Muertes. Katrina comes out again in her very old school red dress, like you
vibrant
said last
and alive.
Night. Yeah. You said she looks like she really does look like a femme fatale.
She does.
Like straight out of film noir. And, yeah, Vampiro was stunned by how vibrant and full of life that she looked.
Vampiro came to life a little
yes,
bit.
Yes,
in
he
his
did.
Description.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure about Vamp's credentials, really, at all times. So, yeah, that was interesting to see as well. But this was a really fun back-and-forth match between two of Lucha Underground's heavy hitters, I thought.
Yeah, a couple of powerhouses.
Yeah, and two of our favorites. I love Mil and Katrina, so of course I was supporting him. I know you're the big
Cage
guy.
Yeah.
So this was a fun one. But this had, before we get into my why I love Lucha moment and the favorite part of the whole episode.
Absolutely.
What did you think about the match overall?
I thought the match was great. Also, I mean, I think we had kind of predicted the outcome of this match last week, but at the same time, like you were saying, all of it has a purpose and it's still incredibly entertaining, and they made a good showing of making sure that both of them are still, you know, very much on top and unstoppable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have no complaints about this match at all. I thought it was phenomenal.
It's another one of those things we've talked about a lot where the loser doesn't really, like, lose anything, any momentum in defeat. Because Cage had Mil Muertes down after
got the three count.
Yeah, he had hit him with the discus punch, and he had Mil Muertes beat, but the ref was down. And then, conversely, Mil had Cage in the same fashion. So,
I saw a lot of refs die in this match.
Yeah, exactly. It was a lot of ref bumps.
It was a massacre.
But the coolest part about this whole thing, and there were a lot of great moments. I mean, God, Cage suplexing Mil from the apron into the, you know, from the turnbuckle corner. That was crazy.
Just, yeah, raw strength and power.
Yeah. But the coolest part of the episode, in my opinion, and the why I love Lucha moment of the week for me, as they're battling on the outside, Mil Muertes went for the chair. Ate a kick to the face with the chair. Cage celebrating amongst the believers. You see a fan behind Cage wearing I believe it's a King Cuerno mask.
Yeah, I think it was something like that. And he's like, in a hoodie.
Yeah, and he's in a hoodie. Takes off the sunglasses. Pulls off the mask. Hey, it is Pentagon Dark. And he, you know, unzips the hoodie. And he's in his full regalia. And, you know, the crowd's just eating it up. Cage thinks they're eating it up for him.
Which was great.
Until Penta throws up the sign.
Cage was
whole...
about to pull a Mr. Pectacular and yeah. just start flexing, not knowing what's going on behind
him. Posing down, yeah. Until Pentagon throws up the sign and the whole crowd goes, Cerro Miedo. he turns around and eats a vicious kick to the head, and then chair shots and flatliner, and that was all she wrote for Cage. What did you think about Pentagon? Because that to me is, and he's had great moments. He's my favorite luchador, but this ranks high on my all-time Pentagon moments.
I popped huge. I thought that was amazing. I had to rewind it and watch it again the first time I saw this last week. I was blown away by how good that was. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And then what we caught this last time that we rewatched it was, yeah, you know, he's just sitting in the audience, and when they were cutting to the crowd, you could see him at one point. It's like, yeah, man, he was really just sitting there, which is
how
watching
cool
the
is
show.
That? Yeah, how cool is
it's
that?
It's like, oh my God, I was sitting next to Pentagon Dark.
Well, it's funny. I was at a All Pro Wrestling show up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and Pentagon had a match with, I believe, MVP that night, and they started the match, he was sitting in my row hiding, and there was like a mom with a stroller, and she rolled by, scared the crap out of her. But yeah, and then he ran in, so he's getting sort of accustomed to that. But yeah, I thought it was just, yeah, imagine just sitting and watching a Lucha Underground show with that was Pentagon the whole time.
That's really cool.
So
no, that was Pentagon has done a lot of cool things throughout the few seasons of Lucha Underground, but that was one of my favorites. I love crowd ambush stuff like that. That was really, and I mean, that was the best one because he looked
creative.
Like just a fan.
Yeah, it was very creative. It was just super well executed. So Mil Muertes got the win, got the medallion. Katrina refused to do the lick of death, which was interesting.
Can't ruin this moment for Mil.
But then she did, like, she licked her finger and
pointed
at
Mil. Him.
So I don't know what's going on with them. And
their relationship's always been rocky. Ups and downs.
It's full of ups and downs. It's weird. I we were talking about last night. I'm worried about her because she's alive now and vulnerable.
She is, yeah, vulnerable. And Cage almost got her.
Yeah,
Mil Muertes had to save her.
I like that. So, yeah. But Mil Muertes picks up the win, so he's in the Gift of the Gods. And then after the match, Pentagon Dark cut a promo on Cage. Yeah, it was a terrific promo, just putting over, you know, himself and how it's going to be just like he's gifting Cage a championship match.
Don't be sad, Cage.
Yeah, don't be triste. Yeah, my amigo, my friend. So good. It was such a good, just like condescending promo from Pentagon, and rightfully so.
But like I said, I feel like Cage has somehow stumbled upon some sort of hidden formula or entered a cheat code where I lost a medallion match, and I get to cut to the head of the line, and now I get a title shot. I don't even have to compete in the Gift of the Gods.
Well, you were talking about it before, how you liked Antonio Cueto being like,
you can't just ambush Pentagon Dark and get a title
this
match.
This isn't WWE or anywhere
exactly.
else. It's like, but Cage is like, well, you know, we'll see about that. So,
well, I'll just talk to the guy who actually has the belt, Antonio.
Yep. He banked on stirring up that hornet's nest, so he's going to get what he wants. So that's going to be...
You sign the checks. We'll book the matches.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. But so, yeah, next week we will get Pentagon versus Cage for the Lucha Underground Championship. I don't see Cage coming out with it, but you never know. Stranger things have happened in Lucha Underground.
It's hard because it's like I could see Cage, obviously, as champion.
Oh, of course.
But I feel like Pentagon just has too much momentum right now. Where it's like
he's on a super roll.
They don't want to take the belt off of him at this point.
Yeah, I think they're trying to give him sort of like a mix between the Puma and Mundo Rain kind of deal, you know. So,
yeah.
But I mean, he's at a point now where he's done the impossible, which is successfully defend his championship in Aztec Warfare,
right?
And then he defeated Matanza, exercised that demon, although Matanza still
now
had
it's
his
a different
soul.
Matanza,
yeah,
that was still a mortal Matanza,
yeah. But I still see Pentagon retaining here, but it should be a hell of an entertaining match. And I wouldn't be shocked if Cage walked out as champion because, like you said, he's very deserving. It's actually kind of surprising that he hasn't had it up to this point, but there just haven't been that many champions.
Many champions, which is great. And he did have that good challenge against Puma. What was in the season one? That was like when Cage like first hit the scene.
He got
a title shot right away, which was pretty good. Puma had really good matches and stuff in that first season.
Everybody.
Against a lot of great contenders.
Yeah.
But
it's one of the most fighting champions I've ever seen.
Exactly. So yeah, it's about time that Cage gets another shot and we'll see what happens. And who knows, maybe even next week that won't end the rivalry.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how the match turns out.
Yeah, we'll see. They could be building something. I think because I think Jake Strong He's going to build a, probably a title match here pretty soon. So Pentagon's got some guys he's got to go through, I think.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't mind seeing Cage go against Jake Strong, too.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be fantastic good. Battle. Yeah. No doubt. Before we end today, we do have to talk about what we're doing down here at Comic-Con and everything like that, but I just wanted to remind all you believers how much we appreciate your support and everything like that. Please, if you haven't done so, subscribe to us, rate us, and review us on iTunes and Audio Boom, all your podcasting channels. Tell your friends about it. Follow us on Twitter at James Kincaid and at Lucha Lowdown, and email us any questions, any opinions, anything you want to talk to us about, luchalowdown@gmail.com. We love interacting with you, and word of mouth's best way to spread the word and the good news that is Lucha Lowdown, your favorite Lucha Underground podcast. At least it's ours. But with that on,
I don't know. I found this other one.
Just don't lie to me. We are down here at Comic-Con, though, in San Diego. We are going to a Lucha Underground event on Friday. We're going to be doing some interviews with some of the talent that are there. PJ Black, Taya, Chavo Guerrero Jr., Marty the Moth Martinez are all going to be there. Maybe some others, so we'll see how that goes. Very exciting, though, and it's just going to be a fun event to sort of get to know them a little bit and see some other some of our other, you know, believers and stuff like that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But with that, that's going to do it for this week of Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.